Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. So, a lot of developments last night. This is the morning report for Nancy Guthrie. Nancy Guthrie was kidnapped on February 1st and remains missing. She hasn't been found, which in a way is good news. She has not been found deceased, nor has she been found alive. So at least there is some hope out there, of course, that she remains missing. She is the mother of Savannah Guthrie. And Savannah Guthrie, of course, is the Today Show host, quite a large media figure, and certainly a celebrity worth approximately $40 million, by the way. I want to talk about so many things this morning. Really thought about this case, I got to say, all night long, based on a lot of new factors that came out yesterday. First of all, I want to talk just again for a second about the letter that was, or the note that was given by the sheriff's office, the Pima County Sheriff's Office, specifically saying that the family, meaning, and I should have been more clear on who he says here, he particularly says, and I'll read this part, the family has been nothing but cooperative and all siblings and spouses have been cleared. So he is specific to siblings and their spouses. And there's been a lot of concern in, I think, mainstream media, in social media, certainly in the true crime community and amongst the sleuths that, you know, that he's untrustworthy, what he says. He documented this. And although I agree, I actually saw a snippet of an interview with a former special agent in charge of the Phoenix office. His last name was Black. And he and I have been on Cuomo together before, really like him. He said that the FBI didn't help write this. I completely agree with this. We don't get we don't have that sort of emotion that you're seeing in this second paragraph, but I still maintain that the FBI supported clearing them. If the FBI didn't support clearing them, it wouldn't have been done. That's my opinion. I really believe they are in lockstep in terms of these major decisions. And when we see these particular written notices come out, I think that they are supported by the FBI, at least in their general messaging, maybe not their wording, but their general messaging. Second of all, I want to talk about how, based on a lot of the new developments, and to me, I'm looking way past, you know, the headlines are the headlines. I'm really trying to dig deeper from the headlines. So I want to talk really quickly about Savannah Guthrie's latest message. I've posted it. We've talked about it. And it's very concerning when you think about the new reporting that she might even be leaving the Today Show based on her guilt. Not that she should feel guilty, but that she does feel guilty regarding the exposure, I guess, that her mom had on the Today Show, and that possibly could have led to what happened. I just think about the last message that Savannah sent, combined with the fact that it is Savannah in all the latest messages, not with her family. So she was with her family in the first message. There was a second message just with her brother, Cameron. And then we have seen her appearing alone in messages. And I just believe that just like if you were a doctor, you would not treat yourself. You would go to another doctor. And in the same way, Savannah Guthrie is going to use all of the resources provided by the FBI. And one of the largest resources they have is the Behavioral Analysis Unit. It used to be called the Behavioral Science Unit, but they changed it to Behavioral Analysis Unit. And I tell you, three different cases that I personally used, BAU, gave them the clues to identify what person, what type of person I was looking for. I'm going to just give you one example of this. So I had a case, I think I've talked about it before. It was a case right after 9/11 where there was an individual that was going into the airport operations area. In other words, they were able to be in the cockpit. They were able to go to the control towers. They were able to be on the tarmac. It was frightening. And they were posting all of these horrible messages, you know, death to the United States, Obama rules, just horrible terroristic messages. And you can imagine how frightened and concerned everybody who worked at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport felt, the pilots, everyone, because they even wrote on a cockpit window and on a tug, you know, that are used to get the big planes out. It was really frightening. It was right after 9/11. And you didn't want somebody within the airport operations area to be a sympathizer. And that's what this showed. Long story short, this was obviously one of the highest priorities because of the concern for air traffic at DFW Airport, the third largest and busiest airport in the United States. So it was top, top concern. One of the first things I did was send, I think I had somewhere between 20 and 30 phrases that were written. I sent that all in. Obviously, they used a very unique style. They prepared these messages with stamps as opposed to handwriting, you know, I think to obscure any, you know, comparison to their handwriting if they were caught. So they used these stamps to formulate these messages. And so I, of course, put that in there and then exactly the locations they were found in. And what I got back from the behavioral analysis unit was that I was looking for a white male somewhere between 40 and 50s, you know, younger than 60, older than 40, somebody with military background, somebody who might even have somebody still in the military, somebody that was a blue collar worker. Long story short, because I want to get back to Savannah Guthrie, but long story short, they were spot on. And I've had three different profiles for three different cases that I needed solved immediately and needed some pointers. And that's exactly what it ended up being. Blue collar worker, he was a baggage handler, a white male. As I was recall, he was about 52-ish, 53, former military, had a son in the military. So they were spot on. And I believe the Guthrie family is, of course, using the behavioral analysis unit. And I believe they are all over on top of this case, trying to determine the type of character we're looking at that would commit this heinous crime, particularly since we know the family, at least the immediate family, has been absolved from this. I know that some of my colleagues are saying, oh, they came out too early. They shouldn't have done that. It was tactical error. I say that's rubbish. It was also done in the Idaho 4 case. And I would submit, you know, there's so many different perspectives on agents and officers. And having, you know, worked cases for 28 years, look, I'm a knuckle dragger. Yes, I had supervisory roles and didn't necessarily like them, but did them for very purposeful reasons. It was kind of fun to be in charge of the FBI in the Virgin Islands and the adjoining liaisons and so forth. It was a great, great role and super, super fun. But that in that role, I also was boots on the ground the whole time because there were only 12 of us between all three islands. And so still was boots on the ground. Anyway, I would just say definitely there's going to be difference of opinions with different law enforcement officers based on your knuckle draggers, you know, working these cases for decades, as opposed to people that maybe were in coordinator positions or decided they wanted to go to the through the ranks. So anyway, that's all I'll say on that. There's just difference in maybe philosophies there. I could tell you there is absolutely no reason, if you're 1,000% sure that they are cleared, that Savannah had nothing to do with it, that Tommaso Cioni, Annie, Cameron, if they had nothing to do with it and their spouses, put that out there, because I believe the amount of hate and I mean, we've seen it on social media. It was everywhere, getting followed around, everything else. And they're still going to have to endure that. But if you know, you know, send it out. They did the same thing on Idaho. And the difference is, and I'll tell you, at least me personally in 28 years, and I would say most officers and agents, in fact, I'll say all officers and agents, other than those that worked on Idaho or Gabby Petito, never had a case, or like a John Bonet or Peterson, they never had a case that was in the media to this degree. None of us have. None of the pundits have. So when you look at that, you have to look at what worked for the cases we have seen that have had this type of media. And of course, the reason is back when we were all working cases, this is something very new within the last few years because of the social media reach, because of everything in terms of sleuthing and in terms of all the different platforms now, IG, TikTok, Twitter X, YouTube, all of that is completely blown up to the point that many mainstream media outlets, that, I mean, they are putting their eggs in the back basket of streaming. We saw Ashley Banfield, and she's putting her eggs in the back basket of streaming because her show is doing amazing and getting millions and millions and millions of views. And because of that, that increases reach. And because of that, you have a blow up of information that's everywhere. And you have people from around the world, just like people who are here with us, that are very interested in what's going on. So I think all of that is very important. I want to get this up on stage. Sorry, I think I took it down. So all this is to say is because of that reach, you see people that are have been accused, being accused, are putting the spotlight on them. What they're suffering is really bad. I think it was a good move. Again, it was done in Idaho, didn't hurt one thing. And I think that this was the right call, even though a lot of people are second guessing it. And I guarantee you the FBI supported the decision. Maybe not that verbiage. That wouldn't have been their verbiage, but they still supported it. I want to talk about the glove that was found in the neighborhood, not in the neighborhood, I want to be careful, over 2 miles away, apparently. The glove was tested. We've all been talking about it. As I said a long time ago, I was cautiously optimistic. And I say that cautiously because there was no absolute, I've got five more minutes left, maybe six. There was absolutely no information that that glove was definitely the glove on the hand, although it matched characteristics. And I also want to give hope that even though the person, they matched the DNA into CODIS, there were no hits. And again, CODIS is crime scene, dead, Jane Doe's, anyone who's been arrested in certain states, everyone who's been convicted in all states. It's 26 million profiles approximately, but that's a small percentage when you consider how many people are in the United States. So they're going to send it through genetic genealogy, and I think that's very important. I think the other thing that came up, which was big, that I want to touch on because I know I'm tight on time here, is the is the new information about cameras. Chris Nanos, the sheriff, says there's many more cameras, apparently, or at least more cameras. I don't want to use many. I'll just say more cameras. That Nest camera that was on top of her house has been given to Google. Hopefully the Bureau is also working in conjunction with Google on this to try to get footage. Right now, they're saying they don't think they can get it, but they got that porch footage without a camera, and they have the camera up on the roof, and they said there's other cameras too. So I'm very hopeful that they'll get something. I want to touch on this. I want to touch on that Range Rover that was taken. I still feel that's very significant. I believe that the reason they put the tarp, this had nothing to do with whether they were hiding what they saw in there, which I think possibly could have been blood. I really believe that. Am I speculating? I'm going from my experience when I would want the media or other onlookers not to look. You tarp this when there's something significant in there. They towed it. They had a search warrant for it. It was a federal search warrant. They had a federal search warrant for that house. I know they've released those individuals. I'm not splashing their pictures up here yet. I'm being very cautious with doing that based on kind of what we saw in this case before. And so I'm just being cautious until I personally can verify those individuals and any relation that they might have to the case. So, but believe me, as soon as I break that and can confidently give you names, faces, affiliation, I promise you I will. I just don't want to be reckless in this way. Let's see. Oh, there was something else I wanted to touch on. Mary says, I want to look at a few comments. Mary says that the sheriff was rude to Brian. I didn't get to see the interview yet. I saw the sheriff's interview with Lum, L-U-M. He is somebody that has been heavily on this case. He's from the Arizona area. And I can tell you he was definitely not rude to him. But before I go, because I do have to go here shortly for a News Nation hit, I want to talk about the most important thing. And I did a tweet on this because it really concerned me. Megyn Kelly came out with information, and it's from this book. This is Savannah Guthrie's book. I'm going to buy this book. I need to buy it and read the whole thing. But Savannah Guthrie's book, in that book, apparently she talks about how when they were kids, they used to do these kidnapping games. Now, this is why this so bothered me. I've always said, I think whoever is involved in this has some connection, familiarity. They knew about those cameras. They were able to get in and out. They knew she was home. There's just a lot of factors that make me believe that this is familiar. This isn't just a total stranger that just happened upon that house. And when I saw this, it just really left a lump in my throat, because this kidnapping game that was discussed in here, and then the fact that Savannah used these words, "You are not alone. It is not too late." That is in this book. That those are words from this book. So when you combine together the fact that she is doing these solo pleas to the kidnappers, she's using phrases from this book, and there was kidnapping that they used to do as kids that I guess Nancy even played along with, these, you know, kidnapping skits or hypothets, you know, kind of like, I never did anything like kidnapping, but you play cops and robbers. You're the good guys, you're the bad guys, you guys hide, we'll find you, we'll take you and arrest you. I remember doing those. I never did kidnapping. But maybe they had better imaginations than I had. Nevertheless, this book is critical, I think, because I was like, oh my gosh, these people, whoever did this is maniacal. They read this book. And, you know, anyway, I could be wrong. This is just something that I'm really heavily considering, because then she uses that phraseology. Why did she take it from her book? Why did she take that from her book? Because I think Savannah thinks they read her book. That's why I think she used that phrase. Yes, this whole section is about redemption, and it's about, so her deep religious convictions in this area. So I do believe that she believes that, and she believes that for them, and she's trying to appeal to that. And I think behavioral science people told her that they too believe that that might help and to send this out. But the fact she took words from her book, and there's kidnapping discussed in her book, I don't know. I just think we might really be looking at some sort of stalker type person that was obsessed with her, with Savannah, and took her mom, or some sort of retribution at Nancy and her mom. Anyway, I'm going down this path. I don't think it's a rabbit hole, but it's certainly something I'm going to continue to explore and see what else I can figure out. And again, I think this is the other thing that we need to keep our eye on. So keeping my eye on that and those possibilities. And then this Range Rover, I'll give you the general information. It was purportedly sold. I don't know if that's true. And so the person that purportedly sold it, I mean, it, pretty striking how much he resembles the other pictures. But again, I don't want to be reckless until I myself can ferret some of this out and know that it's true and factual. So I'm working on that. I'll come back to you guys later on that. I've got a News Nation hit for now. I want to thank you all. Really tune in for News Nation. I'm telling you, they just have the best coverage. They're not oversaturating. They're keeping up with other news. But Brian, of course, and others, are Jessica Cartaglia, they're out on the ground. Marnie Hughes has been out on the ground. News Nation is going to bring you everything up to date about this case. And I'm going to continue to report long form in the mornings what's going on this case. So I thank you all for being here. Have a great day, everybody. And until next time, may justice be served.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffin Daffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffin Daffer now.